Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the past few weeks have been tough, with a steady stream of troubling news from all around the world. If you're carrying the weight of it all, you're not alone. So we decided to speak to someone who can help us make sense of this emotional toll and offer some guidance on how to cope. Claire Hayes, consultant, clinical psychologist, joins me now. Hi.
Hi, Brendan.
Thank you so much for coming in.
That's an absolute pleasure.
So, Claire, it feels like the news has been especially overwhelming, like daily, hourly even.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're not imagining it, right?
No, it's everywhere.
And it's as bad as it's ever been, would you say?
Well, certainly from my experience, it's as bad as it's ever been. And I grew up as a child close to the border, just a few miles away. So I grew up with John Craven's News Round as a child, watching it, reporting all the horror that was the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And now I'm just brought back to that time and how I reacted as a child and how the adults around me reacted. So I don't know. I mean, I think each person is experiencing this differently.
Of course.
Depending on their own experience. And I'm really aware that there are people listening to this who are not Irish born. So hearing the news from other countries and the horror, they're hearing it differently.
Yeah.
So people from Ukraine, for instance, they've got their antennae out, or people who are used to live in Israel, or people who have moved from Iran or wherever, you know. So it's not that we can have a blanket, everybody's experiencing it the same way, because we're not.
You said something just before we came back from the break there, we were just chatting. You were saying it's the immediacy of all the information.
Yes.
Because we're getting it constantly. And I think that's the gear change and the impact it's having
yes.
on us. So
yes.
I've read this great quote that, you know, our prehistoric brains are being governed by, you know, medieval institutions, but really we're all being managed by overlord tech futuristic, you know, mammoth AIs now. So we're getting yeah. this information, we can't process it that quickly. Just quickly about your own situation, would you have spoken to your parents when you were a child about what was going on?
No, it was just part and parcel. And I suppose I knew I was safe.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the hearing about what was going on in Belfast, that was an hour and a half away from me.
Which felt like forever away.
Which felt like a different place, different country. So no, it wasn't impacting on me.
Okay.
But last year, I've moved back to my hometown.
Oh.
So last year, one of the people from Ukraine's husband was killed in the war there. And suddenly the war in Ukraine came into my hometown in a way that I experienced in a way that I hadn't when I was a child with the North. So if I had known somebody who was immediately affected from
okay.
the North, then I would have been. So it wasn't even just where I was living. I think it was how I was experiencing it. If that
so
makes
you're
sense.
Clinically qualified.
Yes.
But you're also, you've experienced it. But, you know, so you've come through it as well. So you have a lot of, you've both sides of the coin of this. So what would you say to people finding it difficult to cope with everything that's happening?
Well, I think, first of all, acknowledging that it is difficult to cope. When your previous interview was just fabulous, listening to the lollipop man talking about the little child with the lollipop. And I could hear the joy in your voice, Brendan, when you were talking about that. And it gave us, listening to it, a huge lift. And equally, when we're listening to news of horror, but now when we're listening, when we're talking about something else, when we're talking about the deaths of people, yeah. people being traumatized, people being shot, killed, innocent people, children, I certainly feel it heavy. And if I didn't, I'd be worried about myself.
Okay.
So I use very much a cognitive behavioral perspective when I look at everything. And it's very simple, separating out what we think from how we feel from what we do. So I use an inverted triangle in three steps. So the first is, how do we feel? And not everybody feels different. So some people are feeling just jaded, fed up, sickened, angered by it all, really, really angry. But unfortunately, some people now have, in terms of action, cut themselves off. And that's worrying. You know, if too many of us get to the point where we're just too complacent about it all and we don't care and it's out there and it's not affecting us, that's leaving the world in a very dangerous position, I think. So acknowledging how we feel and realizing that actually that makes sense. So not panicking because somebody's feeling upset by it. You know, how could you not be? Or somebody's feeling angry. How could you not be?
So that's interesting, because I thought, God, in my naivety, I would have thought you were going to say compartmentalize it, put it away. You're not. You're saying absolutely acknowledge it.
No, absolutely. I mean, When, you know, I was invited in, and thank you very much for doing it, my passion is helping people understand anxiety. And there's a new term that I hadn't come across, news anxiety. And I just laughed. I thought, you know, if we label, so somebody says, I am suffering from news anxiety, suddenly that's another thing out there. But if we think of anxiety, just simply anxiety, what is it? It's a warning mechanism every one of us have to keep us safe from danger. And the problem is that that mechanism, like a light switch, can be turned on by real danger and or by what we think is danger, by our perceptions.
Right.
So if somebody's hearing something on the news, and it doesn't matter if there's a child, a teenager, an adult, and they hear that in a way that's threatening to them, then their anxiety mechanism is going to be triggered. So they're going to feel the sick feeling in the stomach, the clammy hands, the sweaty, the heart racing. And then, so we've talked about feelings, then all the thoughts that accompany this, like there's nothing I can do. And Brendan, you talked about helplessness when we were chatting briefly. And there can be a massive sense of helplessness. And the danger with that is anxiety and depression can be very linked. And depression can be, you know, people can slip in, we can all slip into depression by a sense of helplessness, a sense of hopelessness. So recognizing our thoughts are simply thoughts,
yeah.
They don't have to be true, but focusing particularly on action. So that's why I use a downward arrow, emphasizing action. So some actions, well, we can talk and talk and talk and talk about how awful things are, and that can bring us down.
And that helps.
No, it doesn't. It can bring us down.
Okay.
It can bring us down. So talking about something just for the sake of talking about it, we would think it might help because it's getting it off and getting out the emotion. But if that's all we do, we just go round and round and round. So
okay.
No, we can watch what I call scary movies in our head of the future. If the world's like this now, what if? And even though we're thinking about the future, we can experience it in the present. So we can increase our levels of anxiety. We can replay things from the past. We can think of, I should have, I didn't, why didn't I? Beat ourselves up. We can also block. And a lot of us, I think, are doing that now. I've had enough. I don't want to go there. And
you say that, but we're all doom scrolling.
We're doom scrolling, but how much of it's getting in? You know,
yeah.
we're switching from one to the other. And it can be like, yeah.
Stopping on the cat falling off the bed kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. So it's only when, for me, when something happens to, maybe it's somebody my age or maybe it's a particular child or maybe the story is made real, made human. The numbers, when they're huge, I don't take them in. But once there's a story behind it, then I can find, yes, I feel upset about it. Because I think that was so wrong or whatever. So then what do I do? So some people are taking to the streets. Some people are avoiding turning off news altogether. Some people are fundraising. Some people are actually going, as we know, putting themselves and their own lives in danger. So what can we do?
Yeah.
And that's a question I'm certainly asking myself. What can we do and how can we explain this to children? And
yeah.
I have a particular interest in the whole area of death education.
You very clearly outlined all the things we're doing when we engage with it, which will just increase anxiety,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And I think pretty much everybody who's even, because the other one is you're just not engaging, right? So you've
yes.
got him, you've covered everything.
Detach,
right?
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
can we do to cope now?
Okay, well, I've developed a very clear sentence that I've called the ABC coping sentence. So A, acknowledge. I feel overwhelmed. I feel upset. I feel frustrated. I feel angry. B, because I think this is terrible, because I think someone should be doing something, because of whatever.
Yeah. Go on.
And then C is choose. But I choose to. So the first choose is breathe slowly. So I've conditioned my body as soon as any news comes on. My left hand, my non-dominant hand tightens. I breathe in, hold my breath 2-3, and I breathe out. That very simple exercise turns my internal fire alarm down.
Wow.
So
tell me it again. You take your non-dominant hand.
Yeah, non-dominant hand. Breathe in, hold your breath 2-3,
yeah.
And then breathe out.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's more powerful. Let's try it again, Brendan. So breathe in and think, as I'm saying this, think, I choose to breathe slowly. Hold 2-3 and breathing out. Okay, do you notice the difference when you start to think, I choose to breathe slowly?
Totally chilled.
Yeah. So A, acknowledge. Yeah. I feel however I feel.
Yeah.
B, because.
Okay.
And it makes sense that we feel however we feel. But C, so it could be I choose to breathe slowly. I choose to act in a helpful way. I choose to protect myself as well as doing what I can to support others.
And what you're describing, actually, I get it. You're giving me some sort of control over what I'm doing.
That's it. Exactly.
So you're feeling obviously not helpless.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing.
And I choose to learn from this is something I come back to over and over and over.
I like that one, yeah.
So what can we learn from this? So if we're upset or children are upset, the hymn, "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me." So I think the learning certainly for me is not to be looking at how can I solve the wars out there? How can I manage myself so I'm at peace as best I can? So I'm not causing trouble. I'm not out trying to fix anyone else's wars. I'm not trying to sort it out when I can't. But I'm not making it worse either.
Yeah.
So what can I do? What can you do that's actually helpful? So the switching off, the moaning, the talking, they're not helpful.
No. I really want to ask about talking to children about this.
Yeah.
And like, how do you go about it? Like, where do you even start?
Okay. Well, think of an adult looking out the window and it's pouring rain, as has often been the case here. And the adult says to the little, or says out loud with a little 3-year-old child listening, "Oh, it's raining again. Oh, God, I hate this country. It's always raining." So that's what the child is learning. The adult looks out and says, "Wow, it's raining. Let's get the wellies. Let's go and splash in the puddles." So children pick up what the adults are saying, and maybe even what they're not saying. They might be saying something, but their actions are different. So they pick up on what they're doing. So if we as adults are feeling frightened, which I think a lot, certainly I am a lot of time.
Yeah, of course.
What are we doing for the children? So are we ignoring it? Are we saying no, no, no? But equally, are we giving them too much information? So we check with the children, depending on their age, their developmental stage. What's it like for you? So if a child, see a child, they're very, very clever, as we know. So children can learn to get attention for being upset, for being anxious. So they can learn, oh, the news is on, I cry, I get a cuddle, I get an ice cream, and that's it. So we don't want that. We don't want to feed into they're vulnerable, they're not safe. We want to build up the resilience.
Okay.
So we might say, you might turn off the news. Do you know, it's not appropriate for a 5-year-old to be watching the 9 o'clock news in the evening, in my opinion. So we might turn it off. We might say, yeah, you know, there are some places in the world that aren't safe, but there are people, there are good people that are doing their best to make it safe. Oh, okay. And that maybe that's all the children need to know, depending on what age they are.
Yeah.
So if they're a 10, 11-year-old, if they have a child in the class who's from a particular country who's massively impacted personally by the war, might ask them, what's it like for your friend? What's he or she saying?
That's the acknowledge part.
The acknowledge part, yeah. And then personally, I think we worry far too much about children having to feel happy.
Yeah.
So if they're feeling worried, if they're feeling upset, okay, that's fine. That makes sense based on what's happening. But again, coming back to what can we do? So how can, you know, a 10, 11-year-old support the child in his class? So maybe he doesn't want to talk about what's going on. Maybe he does, but nobody else is mentioning it. And we can use the ABC coping sentence in reverse.
Okay.
And children can do it. So I think you might be feeling upset, angry, hurt or whatever. So acknowledging how you think they are, because I think you might think, I don't want to hear about this, but I want to let you know that I'm here whenever you want to talk.
Yeah.
That's a lovely practical
Claire,
thing.
I could talk to you all day about this. It's really good, but you've made some really simple and beautiful takeaway points. Thank you so much. There's loads more conversation to have around this, and I really feel we'll definitely be talking to you again. Dr. Claire Hayes, thank you so much.
That's a pleasure.
We'll be back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.